This is Reflections of the Lighthouse, a podcast sharing the hope of the gospel for those struggling with life-altering addictions. If you'd like more information about the Lighthouse and the services they provide, visit biblicallliferecoverycenter.com. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon Bauer and Dwayne Modlin.
So today I have a special guest with me. His name is Kevin Trotter with the Trellis Group, and we've been consulting with Kevin for a while, and I wanted to bring him on Reflections of the Lighthouse to talk about biblical fundraising. So welcome, Kevin.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit about Trellis Group?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I certainly love the Lord Jesus and have had the blessing of being a part of nonprofit ministries for a while now, and really seeing that the Lord has given me some opportunities to learn some things, experience some things that I love, and then being able to invest back into Christian ministries. And so things like make sure there's mission and organizational clarity. How do we make sure that we have a board that is strong and knows what they need to be doing from a governance perspective? How to guide and guard an organization? How to make sure we have healthy executive leadership, a leader that not only is crystal clear on vision and where the organization is going, but how to lead well towards that vision. Certainly then having high-performing teams, it takes teams of volunteers and employees to carry out so many ministries. And so really helping leaders then understand how to assemble high-performing teams. And then there's certainly other areas like having impactful programs and communicating with purpose, which really means for us that we're giving God the glory when we communicate about what's accomplished through a ministry. And then finally, being intentional about fundraising and resource development. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about resource development is so much more than just fundraising. It really is thinking holistically about how the Lord, based on those that the Lord has brought to the organization, how the Lord might bring resources for a ministry.
So one of the things I love about Kevin is he has a heartbeat for Jesus, and he wants to help other organizations thrive that are Jesus organizations. And I believe we were one of the first that signed up with you, and we kind of launched this with you.
That's correct.
And we're excited about that. So you hail from Wabash/Fort Wayne.
That's right.
But you do take on clients worldwide and do a lot of that over Zoom.
That's right,
so,
yes.
So how would they contact you if they wanted to talk more about biblical fundraising or talking about how you can help benefit their organization?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is just to go to trellis.group. Trellis.group is our, we've got a 2 or 3 page website that just gives a quick overview on some of those things I just mentioned, as well as next steps for contacting me.
Well, very cool. Thank you for joining us today. We wanted to talk about biblical fundraising, and I wanted to explain what that was. So in my viewpoint, biblical fundraising is meeting a genuine need in God's kingdom by actively challenging donors to heartfelt and cheerful giving. That's hard. A lot of people are like, I don't want to sell myself. I don't want to ask people for help. But we're going to talk today about some biblical examples of that. So, but that's what you do for a living, is help people. So let's talk through that a little bit. How do you help people meet their financial needs to spur on God's kingdom?
Yeah, that's a great question. So often people think of fundraising in particular as this sleazy used car sales kind of approach. And really, we have a real leg up in the Christian ministry world because we're actually given the opportunity to have deep relationships with people, whether they become donors or not. We have an opportunity to form relationships with people and really invest Christ into their lives. So we see fundraising, and I know you do as well, Brandon, we see fundraising as an opportunity for ministry, not as some transactional relationship. Listen, the world is full of transactional relationships. We get to do that different, and I think that's pretty compelling.
So when we look at scriptural fundraising guiding, we can start even as far back as Moses, like in Exodus chapter 25, chapter 35, chapter 36, Moses is asking the people of Israel to give as their hearts prompted them. Give offerings, give materials, give their skills. Moses is fundraising.
That's right.
What can we learn from Moses as we translate that to the 21st century?
Yeah. So it's, I love that you brought that example. It's descriptive for us, right? And so there's a difference between prescriptive and descriptive. So it's descriptive for us in the sense that he was bringing an opportunity for those people to be participating in what the Lord was doing. So in the secular world, there's a lot of talk about people want to be a part of a winning team. Well, certainly there's no greater winning team than the Lord's team. And so it's inviting people that have a particular passion for whatever your ministry is. In this case, we see in the story of Moses there from Exodus, that he was inviting them in on the Lord's work. And one of the most fantastic, most intimate ways to invite people in is through supporting financially or through donating goods or time. And so what an awesome opportunity to invite people in on the greatest winning team of all time, and that is what the Lord is doing. People want to be where the Lord is at work.
We also see in those chapters that he encouraged people to volunteer and a strong volunteer spirit. We just got out of a cohort meeting where we talked about volunteering. And so talk to us about the importance of volunteers and the bottom line. With ministries.
Yeah, for sure. So I can't underscore enough the necessity of volunteers. If you have the ability to bring volunteers in, and Brandon, you gave some great examples of creating volunteer opportunities for the sake of the relationship, not necessarily because the task was the primary thing, but you wanted to build relationships. Volunteers want to serve ministries because they care about the ministry, and so they become the best ambassadors possible, incredible ambassadors for an organization. And the other thing is, and this is your bottom line question, donors who are also volunteers tend to give 10 times more than those donors that are not volunteers also over the giving or the lifetime of their giving.
So we have a group of ladies that comes every Monday and they sit here and they do small projects. And sometimes we have to create projects for them. One of the worst things you can do is bring volunteers in and not have anything for them.
That's right.
But we create opportunities for these ladies, and it's their social highlight of the week. You know, we're having them stuff envelopes or put labels on or sort jewelry for our thrift stores, or it's just amazing the love that's shown through the volunteers to the residents. And now each of those volunteers is now a financial giver. That wasn't the goal up front, but they're each financially supporting the organization, and we're trying to continue to come up with mailings and things to keep them busy because we value just them sitting here every Monday and just hanging out.
Yeah, I think that example is a really cool example of engaging volunteers. So three things are happening. One, they're coming in and they're in a place where they can tell you're ready for them. So to your point, having volunteers come and not having something for them to do is a killer. So you have a task ready for them. You have a comfortable place. They have access to coffee and water. They can sit around a circle table. The second thing that happens is their hands are busy and they're talking. What a gift to give people a block of time where they're not looking at phones, they're not watching something on TV or something on their device, but they're just sitting around a table doing something with their hands and talking. And the third one is, and I think this may even be the biggest one, you have your residents here that are seeing there are people that care about them that are donating time, even to stuff envelopes to support their care here.
And they're also bringing in their friends and their contacts to tour and show them what's important to them.
That's right.
At the Lighthouse. So if we turn back to scripture, in 1 Chronicles 29, we see that David is raising funds for a temple that he doesn't even get to build. His son Solomon builds it. But we see some important fundraising stuff here through this biblical story. We see that David, first off, led by example by giving a sacrificial gift of his own. And then he challenged others to contribute as well. And he saw that people could be joyful in their giving. And he challenged those donors to give out of a joyful heart. Let's talk about joyful giving versus giving because we have to or because we're pressured to.
Yeah, there is... So for somebody that the Lord has connected to your ministry, there is such a great sense of joy, even for someone maybe that's not volunteering, that's just giving, maybe it's $25 a month. When they hear the stories of how those dollars are used to impact the lives of others and impact lives into the future, there's just a great sense of joy that comes from that. We certainly want people to think of philanthropy as something that is joyful, not compulsory. But I think when we offer people the opportunity to exercise a God-given desire to give, there is much joy that comes from that. And let's face it, a desire to give generously, even for someone that's not saved, that is not of the flesh, that is of the Lord. And so when we give people the opportunity to give, they're exercising then something that is prompted by the Lord.
So we can manipulate pretty much anyone into giving, but if they're giving out of a joyful spirit, they're going to continue giving and their gifts are going to be greater and more impactful in their lives.
That's right.
David also saw from these things, he was raising money for something he wasn't even going to see. He was raising money for the future of God's kingdom. And I think if we just share this vision that your gift now will support work that's going to outlive us, I think that's an amazing thought. I'm not old, but I'm getting older, and we're starting to think about legacy and how do we create things that are going to outlive us? How do we fund ministry that's going to outlive us? And I think there's some wisdom in thinking through that process. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So people want to know that they're participating in something that's certainly bigger than them, but something that will live longer than them. And so call it legacy, call it whatever you want. Participating in something like that is really meaningful. And again, I just can't think of another source of joy that's as powerful as knowing that it's like raising kids, that I'm doing this not for something that I'll be walking this earth, for the entire time it exists, my kids' example, but they get to be a part of something that outlives them. It is, again, a powerful thing to be a part of.
And we call that legacy giving around here. And we're really excited to start expanding some of that legacy giving at the Lighthouse. We've put together processes where people can donate stocks and bonds and vehicles and property, but also for them to leave gifts to us in their will. That's what David was doing here. He was raising things for the future based on his current money. So, while it may seem sticky salesperson-ish, we know that the heart behind it is to continue gospel ministry long beyond our time here.
That's right.
And when we look at that, we don't feel bad about asking people for money because it's not for us. It's to serve God through the work that he's given us. So that was one of the things I had to overcome is, oh, I have to go ask someone for money. What if they say no? All of that stuff. But when I realized I'm not asking for me, I'm asking for future gospel work that's going to outlive me, it became a lot easier.
That's right. And what's interesting is that a lot of times people don't give because they haven't been asked. And so, again, it's not to be a used car salesman, but it is to say, I've got an opportunity here. This is the vision of what the Lord is doing here. This is the fruit we've seen born out of that. There are ways that you can get involved.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the biggest things that people complain about is asking secular people for money. Well, I think there needs to be some caution there. We see in the story of Nehemiah that he went to secular resources to fund God's purposes. Nehemiah chapter 1 and chapter 2, he prayed long and hard. Then he went before the king, who was a secular man who had no ties to Israel, and found tremendous support from him. So let's talk through the fundraising from unbelievers, how it is biblical, but we need to use caution.
Yeah, so I think that the caution is always good, right? We certainly don't want to, especially if we have a donor that's wanting to give, a lot of times this comes up in larger sums of money, and they perhaps expect something different. Mm-hmm. Again, we need to be crystal clear. We're not pandering. We are crystal clear about what we're after. But let's flip that on the other side. Where does evangelism and discipleship happen? It happens in the context of relationship. You may be missing an opportunity, a providential appointment to form a relationship with somebody that's not yet in the household of faith. And boy, I would hate to miss that just because I don't want to have a fundraising conversation with somebody. Because again, if we approach it as a ministry and not as fundraising, it's a different mindset.
Yeah. So one of the things the Lighthouse does is we don't want to be reliant on federal money because of all the strings that become attached. So we are, I would say, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're pursuing funding at all angles, but we're not pursuing funding that's going to limit our gospel outreach, that's going to come with strings that we don't agree with. But recently we took a fairly nice grant on tobacco cessation, and it wasn't something that we were doing, but it fit within our model. It fit within what we're doing, and adding a tobacco cessation piece onto our addiction piece wasn't much of an ask at all. And we were funded very well with tobacco cessation money. It was secular tobacco cessation money to create a biblical smoke-free facility. And it was a perfect fit of how we can use secular money to promote God's work, but there wasn't those strings attached that come with a lot of that secular money.
Yeah, well, what I appreciate too is you look at everything through your filter, right? So you have a filter through which you view these opportunities, and oversimplified, it's mission, vision, and values. What do we do? Where are we going? And values, what's important to us along the way. And so if we're filtering these things through those, then we're gonna probably arrive at a clear answer. And certainly everything needs to be submitted before the Lord in prayer. We don't want to step outside of what the Lord would have us do. But yeah, I think there are certainly opportunities that are secular in nature that can further the work that the Lord is doing through an organization.
And if we don't pursue that, we're limiting God and God's resources. He owns all of that, whether whether it identifies as Christian money or not.
That's right.
If we move to the New Testament, we look at Paul. You know, Jesus talks about a lot about money, but we see a lot of personal examples from the life of Paul. He had to raise his own funds for his own ministry while he worked a job. You know, you'll see this in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul is raising money for his ministry, but for other people as well. The cool thing about Paul was he was really concerned about integrity and accountability. And that's so important in biblical ministry. We've taken steps around here to be more accountable, to join Alliance Defending Freedom for protection, to join things like the Better Business Bureau, just for a better face to the community. But we've adjusted the way we do things to fit with the laws, and we've brought Kevin on as a consultant to help us write policies that'll help with our fundraising. And what's the importance of integrity and accountability in fundraising?
Yeah, no, that's such a great point. You know, Satan loves low-hanging fruit when we don't dot the I's and cross the T's. And so you may be doing everything right, but if you're not documenting, if you're not being transparent about those things, there's a lot of room for attack. And let's face it too, we need to be above reproach, right? We should be well thought of by outsiders. And one of the ways we can protect the ministry is by making sure we have all those pieces in place. Again, Satan loves to get the easy stuff. Let's not give him the easy stuff. There are enough battles to face that we don't want to give things away easily.
And if you study the life of Paul, you'll also see that he had fundraising tactics. He was a tent maker. He helped to fund his own mission. And that's one of the things that I think that we do really well here at the Lighthouse. We are working on funding ourselves. Now, we still rely on donations. We still write grants. We still talk to churches. All of that money is important as well. But what does it look like when I go to a funder and say, give me, but I'm not willing to work for it myself? So we started a thrift store, and that grew to two thrift stores. And our newest venture is we just got a grant for a food truck. Being wise with grants, the food truck was for a free soup kitchen for the community. So we bought a 24-foot mobile box truck, and we're going to create a mobile kitchen to be able to do free food for the community. But in addition, we're going to take that vehicle and we're going to go to fairs and festivals, and we're going to be able to raise funds for our work to help fund the mobile soup kitchen, but also fund everything else that we do here. So we're working to create funds through the future food truck and through our thrift stores. We believe that we're going to be able in the next couple of years to fund half of our budget through this stuff. So when I go to a funder, I'm able to say, hey, I need your help. but we've already got half of it covered through our hard work. Will you help us with this? That's going to be much more of a sellable ask than I need $1 million to keep my doors open.
For sure. Yeah, that's much more compelling. So funders are going to be looking at, they certainly want to see partnership and collaboration. They don't want to reinvent the wheel every time there's a need that comes up. But they also want to see that there's sustainability. And we're really seeing philanthropy change in the sense that it's not just about finding donors. It really is about finding innovative ways to bring dollars in to support the ministry. That, again, we want to look through the lens, right? We want to make sure that it aligns with mission, vision, and values. But finding ways, and your thrift store is a fantastic example. And there are a lot of side benefits that you didn't mention. You know, the folks that are being cared for by your ministry also get an opportunity to work there. So learning work skills, their resume building, they have an opportunity to learn about sales, which is a highly transferable skill. There are a lot of benefits by using that as a funding source for the ministry. And again, funders are going to want to see other creative approaches more than just donor dollars.
For sure. So if we continue on talking about Paul, we're going to rush through some of this. But, you know, he had a plan. He made personal appeals in person before cell phones. He showed up and asked for money. He wrote letters making appeals. He collected pledges from people. He talked about how the Corinthian church was sacrificial in their giving, and he used them as an example of how other churches should give. He shared the results of people's giving with the community. He continually thanked people. One of the things that we need to do well is thank our givers well. Paul was an example of that. He purposefully thanked donors and talked about how their giving impacted the work he's doing. And he challenged people in 1 Timothy 6 to give liberally according to the best of their ability. Paul had skill sets to fund his work. He had tactics in fundraising to raise money. I think it's fantastic to look. So when people say fundraising isn't biblical, I would challenge them that fundraising is all throughout Scripture. But some things we need to talk about. Is there a genuine need? Because there's a lot of people asking for money for things that aren't really a need.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you can go to crowdfunding platforms and see those kinds of things all over the place, right? Where there's and people have times in their lives where they need help. So this is not to be a knock on that. But there are a lot of times where you see people trying to raise money simply because they don't want to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there a need? Have we prayed about it? I think it's important to pray before we ask someone and challenge them to pray before they give. Because prayer is how we communicate with God and seek His direction. And I wouldn't want to ask people to fund us without them seeking the Lord in that as well.
That's right.
Is there accountability built in with men before we pursue the ask? So the Lighthouse is getting ready to go into our 10th year. And early on, there was very few of us. So Liz and I and one other person, we were getting the checks and we were signing them and we were taking them to the bank. But as we grew, we realized that practice wasn't the most accountable. So we put steps into place to pull us out of that process because we wanted to be accountable. Now, I also get that when we were a small organization, there was only two of us and we had
That's
to do this
yeah.
work. But as we grew, we wanted to put things into place to be accountable so that we can have an honest approach before men as we ask. So we're really excited about that. Are we celebrating our results? Every year we have a dinner where we celebrate what God's done. We invite our donors, we invite future donors to hear the work that God's doing. And the such a cool thing about the Lighthouse is it is so bigger than we ever imagined it being. And we can't say, look what Brandon and Elizabeth built. Because it's not. It's look what God has done through our work here. And Kevin's a part of that too. And we're just so excited that God brought him from Florida and through all these other jobs to land here and to be able to assist us in taking the Lighthouse to the next level. In summary, because we're running out of time, Kevin, the goal of Christian fundraising is to meet a genuine need in God's kingdom by actively challenging donors with heartfelt, generous, and cheerful giving.
That's right. No, I think I really appreciate the way you summarize that. And if I could just add to that, fundraising within the Christian ministry context is all about ministry. We have to think of it as an opportunity to, first of all, minister and invest Christ in the life of somebody else, but then also invite them into something that the Lord may have been prompting them for anyhow, and they can then exercise that God-given desire to be generous.
Yeah. So I'm excited that Kevin Trotter is with us from Trellis Group. We wanted to do a quick commercial here. On June 13th at 6 o'clock, we're hosting at the Lighthouse a biblical fundraising and sales summit. So Kevin and I are going to be part of this, and we're inviting you to come. It is a free event. We'll have snacks. It's going to be a great time of talking about how do we fundraise from a biblical model. And we're inviting all of our CEOs and friends and fundraisers and pastors and missionaries. And if you have any interest in biblical fundraising, we want to see you there on June 13th at 6 o'clock. It's a 2-hour event at the Lighthouse, 3000 East State Boulevard. There will be more information on our website. It's not uploaded yet, but stay tuned for more of that. If you check out our Facebook page or our Twitter page or any of those other social media pages, we definitely have, we'll have announcements on that. So I'm looking forward to that, Kevin, having you with us, and I invite our community to join us. Thank you again for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This has been Reflections of the Lighthouse.